We're going to jump into God's Word in just a moment. And today's going to be a little bit of a different morning because I'm going to share a little bit just of my heart as we just walk through some of the things that God is doing and what God is up to and for both you as individuals as well as us corporately as a church and for Julie and I as well too, that I'm just confident. You know, the Bible talks about that he does all things well. Just say well. So there's not one detail, come on somebody, of your life that goes unnoticed. There's not one situation or circumstance that you face that hasn't already been through the hands or the filter through the hands of God that he knows. Now, there's some things that will happen that he didn't cause, but he'll use those things. You've heard us say this before, for his glory and your good, that he does all those things. He's a good God and he does good. And as we walk through this journey, there's sometimes things that we don't fully understand. And it's not by coincidence, I don't believe, the last couple of weeks that we've been talking about the anointing of God and his hand on our life and how he's working and what that means and all those things. Last week, we talked about the mission, how the anointing of God, his presence, his spirit in us allows us to fulfill the mission or the plan of God. And at the end of last week, and most of you know, I probably already know, because social media is such a prevalent thing, that we had been talking about the last few months about something that Julie and I just asked you to be praying with us about. And for those that are aware, that I was nominated back in April to be one of the candidates to be the president of Open Bible Churches. And we've been just walking through that, just praying about that. And we prayed about what God might want to do and what he's saying. And we just felt like there was this sense of God in the midst of this for us. And it doesn't come lightly. And it wasn't something I aspired to. It's not something I applied for. I didn't put out my resume and say, hey, would you consider me? I didn't call pastors and say, would you nominate me? It was purely something that the ministerial alliance, there's some 800-900 pastors, licensed ministers in Open Bible, and those pastors nominated the names that they felt like they would like to see lead our organization, our affiliation of churches. And so it's extremely humbling and an incredible honor just to have been nominated in that process. And then to be part of the final two of that was just beyond what we would have ever thought. And also, it's been excruciating the last 3 months. Some of you may have felt a little bit like, oh, what's going to happen? It has been excruciating because there's a tear. There's this sense of connection. You understand, a church is about a community and not a person. Come on, somebody. So church was never about the man, not a man. It's always been about the message. It's always been about the people and the community, the mission of God. And I hope you see yourself as part of the community and not just a follower of a person, meaning me, but a follower of him. Because all my steps, with all my heart, my goal, my dream, and you'll hear me pray it too, that the scripture, the portion that says, if he be lifted up, that he would draw all people to him. And that's really been our passion, our heart, is not that we would make a name for ourselves, but that we could lift up the name of Jesus. That people, no matter where they're at and what walk of life and what they've gone through, who they are, where they've been, how they're viewed, whatever, that we could lift up the name of Jesus and he would draw people to him, that he would heal, that he would restore, he'd bring freedom, salvation. And so in the midst of all of that and just walking through that, this last Wednesday through that nominating process, there was a vote in Dallas, Texas, and it's official. So Julie and I were voted by our peers to be pastors of pastors, leaders of leaders. And we have a couple months to walk together, and I'm going to give you more insight of, you know, my message today is strong and courageous. I was going to call it what now or what's next, but Joshua chapter 1, if you'll open up your Bibles or if you follow on digitally, you can turn there. We'll be there in just a moment. But thank you for your support, your prayers, and even more your love. And as over the next few months, as Julie and I walk with you through this, I was telling somebody over the last 3 months, we've been walking through this unsettledness and unknown. God, what are you saying? What are you doing? Where are you leading? But it was this idea of who am I? Who in the world am I to do that? But it was followed with this hyphen of, but here I am. Meaning, God, I'll go where you send, I will go. And it started for me at 17 years of age at a camp like our teenagers and children will experience next month, that when I was 17 years old, and many of you have heard my testimony where, you know, and I grew up in church. You know, I was born on Saturday and in church on Sunday. Come on, somebody. I don't know that that's true or not. That's just how I feel, but it just flows. It sounds good. But that's what I remember all my life. But it was when I was 17 years old, having just graduated from high school, thinking my goal, my ambition is I want to make money. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get a job. I thought, you know, I grew up in Southern California. I'm going to work in a high rise and have a window with a view, hopefully towards the ocean. And, you know, it was just as a kid, you just crazy things. And you'd have these little elderly ladies that would come up to me when I was a kid and they'd pinch my cheek and you're going to be a pastor just like your dad? No, I'm not. I'm going to make money. I'm going to be successful in a career and I'm going to pursue this. But at 17 years of age, something gripped my soul, my mind, my heart, my spirit. And the speaker, I remember his name is Mike Nichols. And I haven't talked to him since. And I'll just never forget that moment, that summer. And as he preached his message, it culminated with this idea of, would you be willing to do anything for God? Would you be willing to pursue whatever it might be that God would call you to do or to be, or maybe a place, whether it's the mission field or a pastor or in the marketplace, that you'd be willing to do whatever God would call you to do? And there was just something in me. I'm like, yeah. You know, I grew up in church and I know that, I mean, I loved God and I wanted to follow God, but I was just kind of, you know, I was just okay, just kind of just being cool, or what I thought was cool. they showed a picture. I should have brought it. I'll bring it next week. Anyways, when I was that same summer, they have this magazine in our denomination, or used to, and so I was on the cover of it back in 1988, and he showed a picture of it, and I was probably about 70 pounds lighter, and I parted my hair down the middle, and it was feathered back. Come on, a little ducktail in the back. Come on, somebody. So I thought I was cute. Anyways, but now I'm older and wiser. But anyways, at that camp, and I don't want to take too long in this because I want to challenge you with a word, but I want to also invite you on a journey over the next few months together with us as we as a community walk through what God wants to do. But I'll never forget that challenge. And he said, if that's you, and you're willing to do that, I want you to just stand up and at the top of your lungs, just yell out, I'll do anything for you, God. It's a kind of a camp moment. And so I remember, like, I'm not going first. But I remember there just being this handful of people popping up, but something inside of me just burning. Mike, you can't sit down. And there was a moment I readied myself and I stood to my feet and I yelled out, God, I'll do anything for you. And I believe at that moment, God said, cool. I think those are the words he used for me. Cool. I'm going to take you at your word. So this is what I thought was going to happen. So I was going to go to the local community college for 2 years. I was going to transfer to San Diego State University. That was my plan for my second 2 years and study business, whatever, or finances. And in that moment, I'm like, okay, I'll do anything. God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 1 year of my life. I'm going to put my plans on hold because I understood, my parents trained me that anything that you invest or you give to God never returns void. That God always blesses. Anything that you, when you put God first, that God's blessing on it. So I'm like, God, I'm going to give you 1 year of my life. And so I'm going to go to Eugene Bible College at the time, back in 1988. And I'm going to go for the 1 year Bible certificate. Then I'm going to go make money. Come on, somebody. That's anything for you, right? 1 year of my life. And it was in that 1 year that I began to read God's word like I never had all my life. I'd heard the stories. I knew most of them. But I started reading the Bible, and I read in that 8-9 months, probably a little more than 3/4 of the Bible from the beginning toward the end, probably the minor prophets. I didn't read a whole lot of those when I was in college. But you know what? I literally thought this one time. I was in this little room. They called it the prayer room, and I was plugging into God. I mean, I was hungry. I was like, I'm legit. I'm going for this thing 1 year. I'm going for it for 1 year. I'm going for it. But I remember reading things like, what the heck? Are you serious? That's actually in the Bible. I'm like, I'm reading stories and like, my dad told that story and it's actually in the Bible. But I was discovering those things for the first time myself. And all of a sudden, God's word exploded in my spirit. And there was something like, this wasn't just a history book or it wasn't just a story I would hear on Sunday. It was like, all of a sudden, I was like, God was speaking to me through his word. And I began to just read more and more and more. And it was amazing. And so I feel like I was set up by the Holy Spirit a little bit here because I'm like, I'll go for 1 year. And again, some of you know my story. I'm like, I'm going to do the 1 year Bible certificate. And when I was registering for those classes, I had upperclassmen come up to me and like, oh, hey, you know, what's your name? You know, I'm Mike Norton. I'm going to be here for 1 year. You know, I'm just doing the Bible certificate. They're like, oh, how cool. Well, we're glad you're here. But you know that 1 year Bible certificate is much harder than the freshman course because you take upperclassmen's courses. You're taking sophomore, junior courses. And so being the astute student that I was, I'm like, I don't need a certificate. I'm just giving God 1 year of my life. And so I changed my 1 year Bible certificate to the freshman program because it was easier. Come on, somebody, you've never taken the easy way, I know. But it was a setup. It was God positioning me to get ready. And that 1 year then turned to four. And that 1 year, God, I'll do anything for you, turned to a lifestyle. God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. And over this last few months, I was reminded of that when I would say, oh, God, who am I? Who am I to do that? But the Isaiah, here I am. I'll go. I'll do it. Because I know your anointing will make a way. In fact, one of the things that God's Spirit does on each and every one of us is that it opens up the path that God leads. And in Proverbs, it says a man's gift makes way for them and brings them before kings. That the gift of what's in you, the deposit that's in you, will open up doors of opportunity for the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody, to advance. And that's not just for a pastor. That's not just for me, but my hope is that you understand that you also, as you surrender your life to Jesus and his Spirit comes in to live in you and you surrender to him, that he will work through you in ways you never dreamed possible. And so let me just give you in a nutshell, over the next couple of months, I've already, leading up to this, I've actually had different, I tell people all the time, I'm a fisherman. I'm always casting my net out or my pole out, just seeing who will nibble on things, whether that's for staff or, you know, some of our team members or even, you know, in this situation. And we knew that there were some different structures if we stayed that we wanted to do that, how we wanted to add to our team. And so that some of those conversations, we'll see what God does. But Pastor Chris Hanser, who's has preached here a couple times, most recently would have been last November. Met with him at the conference last week, and so he and I will be working together to navigate how this opens up. And but this is what I know, and I want to share this. God's already been preparing a couple, a family that probably didn't even know it. That, like me, at 17 years of age, God began to do something in me that I never envisioned prior to that. That God's already starting to do that, but this community of faith, He's preparing you not to survive, but to thrive. Not to just get by, but to pursue. And I'm not gonna get to this, but here's my 3 points. You can put them on the board, but we're not gonna go through this. But that God prepares people so they'll pursue Him, pursue His plan to ultimately possess the promise of God. So we're in a point in time where we're being prepared as we pursue, but ultimately you're going to possess. You see, the story throughout the scriptures, in fact, multiple situations, you would see this happen, that the anointing or God's plan, God's purpose or His Spirit is never contained to one generation. It's always something that lives beyond, and God's plan is always something bigger. If you read in 2 Timothy, there's this passage of scripture. The apostle will say these words. He'll say, I've run the race. I fought the fight, and now there's a prize waiting for me. It's almost like when you read that, the apostle's like, oh, I made it. Whoo, I survived. Now I'm done, and now there's this reward in heaven. But when you realize, when God has a plan, when God has a dream, when God puts something in motion, it's always bigger than yourself. It's always bigger than just a generation. And so if you read that, in fact, let me just real quick, and I don't think I have these scriptures on here, but in 2 Timothy, it's going to help the perspective when he talks about, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, a righteous judge, will give me on the day of His return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all. Everyone say all. So there's this something that's bigger than just himself. All who eagerly look forward to His appearing. So he's like, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, but what happened? He was done, but was the race over? The answer is no. Was the race over? No. Was his race over? Yes. Was the race over? No. Was his race over? Yes. Okay, so there was a season. There was a point in time, but there was another generation. There was a plan that continues, the plan, the purposes, the call and mandate of God, that there are a people that He prepares. And before He could say those words, He would say this. Earlier, he would talk to Timothy, and he would say in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, he says, talking to the one that would be taking over, the one that would go further than him, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that was filled with your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and now is in you. That this thing that goes beyond you, your faith will live beyond you. Your impact lives beyond you. Your anointing, your calling lives beyond you. It says, and I know the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into the flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, love, and self-discipline. That before he could say, I run the race, I finished, there was this, I'm going to empower others. I'm going to pass on to those around me and behind me that can go further than me. And that's what I believe that God's putting in our heart, that God is preparing people to help Life Church and help you go further than what Julie and I could ever do. In fact, in Joshua chapter 1, and I told you we'd be there, but in Joshua chapter 1, this is this transition from one generation to another, from one leader to another, and it says this. Let me just read the first few verses 1 through 9. It says, after the death of Moses, when Moses had finished his race, when Moses was done, the vision of what God has was further, that the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. I love this because it's like Moses, the man of God, the servant of God, he's done. And then here's his assistant. It's just funny. But through that book, through Joshua, it will then refer to him as the servant of God, just like Moses. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River. There was a promise, please catch this, that was bigger than their leader. There was a promise for the people of God that was bigger than the leader that was leading it. There was a promise some 20 times, starting in Exodus chapter 3. I believe it's in verse 8. It says, I'm going to lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I have this promised land for you. And he promises Moses, this is where I have for my people. And then when it comes time for them to cross over, he's like, but you're not going. You're done. Your leg is here. But their mission, their vision, the call continues on. That the vision was beyond the person that birthed it or experienced it. And that's what happens when churches transition in a healthy way. Come on, somebody. I've seen too many church splits and people trying to overthrow or take over or control this. But when it's done in a healthy way, that the vision of God exceeds any one person or any one leader. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River, speaking to Joshua now, into the land I'm giving them. Verse 3, I promise you what I promised Moses. So here it is. See, the vision continued beyond one generation, continued beyond one person or one leader. The vision and the plan in your life, that God's plan for you goes beyond what you can see. And he's the land that I'm giving you, from the Negev wilderness south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Come on, somebody. Now, when God promises, then he makes a way. And it doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what people say, what's going on. It's like, this is what God has designed. For I will be with you. Everyone say, God is with us. Come on, say it like you mean. God is with us. Okay, that's the promise right there. It's not Mike and Julie are with us. Come on, somebody. It's God is with us. And God has united us. God has called us. God has dreamed this dream that goes beyond and further. You've heard me say this. My dreams are bigger than my memories and greater than my reality. My dreams for Life Church are greater than my memories and greater than my reality, meaning this, that there's something even greater that God wants to do. But it comes from a people being in community together. Belong, believe, become. That they connect to one another, that they link arms, that they move forward to pursue. And for the last 17 years, in fact, July 1 would be getting our 18th year, we've given all that we are to see that vision come to light. But it's not done. There's something even greater that God wants to do. And over the next few months, we'll unwrap some of these together. But no one will be able to stand against you because I am with you. I will not fail you or abandon you. And here's the message. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land. that I swore to their ancestors, things that the anointing, the presence of God had led to this point, that God will continue that. Verse 7, he says this again, be strong and very courageous. Church, that's my prayer, that you'll be strong in your faith, in your life, in your plans, that you'll be strong. Strong is this sense of, I'm gonna give what I can, and I'll stand strong with one another. I'll stand strong for the purposes. I'll fight for my family. I'll fight for my friends. I'll fight for my church. I'm gonna be strong. Courageous is this mentality, like, I'll never back down. I'm connected to this. And be strong and courageous. Just this side over here, just say strong. Come on, say courageous. And come on, somebody. You see that unifying point? That it's not enough just to be strong, come on, but be courageous. So we need people that are courageous, and we need people that are strong. And it goes on to not just be strong. It says, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate them from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you will be successful. So if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus and you'll continue to move forward, you're going to find the significance and success in your life, in this community, in God's kingdom. Then you will be successful in everything. I love that. And everything you do, if you'll follow Jesus and follow his plan, you're going to find success. Study the book of the instructions continually. It's the idea of reading, understanding God's word. And it goes on, it says, meditate on it day and night. You know, that we allow God's word to penetrate our hearts, to infuse our life day and night, so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. And then he says it again, this is my command, be strong, help me out, what? And come on, I love that. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God, he says it again twice, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Church, God is with us. Life Church wasn't Julie and I's idea. Life Church was God's idea. And you know what he says? He says, the scriptures, James doesn't say, Mike Nortune, you'll build my church. I'd love to get credit for that. But in Matthew, you know what it actually says? He says, I will build my church. Jesus says, I'm going to build the church. And not just this local church, but the capital C big church, because it's his church. It never was our church, Julie and I. It was our church, but it's his church. And his promise is that he would build it, meaning he would bring whatever we need to do whatever he's called. So everything you need for your life with his presence, he has given it to you. It's on the inside of you. You may think of yourself as small, come on somebody, in your own eyes, but you are great in the kingdom of God because you have his presence and his spirit that's fighting with you, and he is with you always. So be what? And come on somebody, be strong and courageous. Don't back down. Don't be afraid. Run with me. Walk. I'm committed. No matter what happens and who comes in, I'm trying to work out that I can continue to be like Pastor Emeritus or Founding Pastor, and I just make my way back here, and I'm whatever. But I know that God's plan is bigger than me, that he birthed something that would exceed us, and that the people of God will fulfill the plan of God, not just for a church, but for your families, for our community, for people that are lost. Last week, we talked about the mission of God, people that are far from Christ, that they need somebody that will just speak life to them. In a world of chaos, tension, animosity, of church with a voice that will speak love and hope and peace. Come on, somebody, and joy. So let me wrap it up with this. And I'll fill in some of the gaps in the weeks ahead. So I started to tell you that Pastor Chris and I will be working through the potential pastors and families here in the next few weeks. Their target was September 1, but I let them know in advance that I have a church that I love and I care about. And so I may not be able to meet that time frame because I want to make sure we transition well. And so that's clearly communicated that we're here to walk through what God's doing. I'm not abandoning. I'm not running. I'm fighting. I'm standing strong. Come on. Thank you. And courageous. So we've been talking about this, and I am almost done. I know you can't believe that. Church, thank you for your grace. You know my goal is to preach in 30 minutes. It's good to have goals. All right, come on, somebody. They gave me 15 minutes on Thursday night to speak, and it was bad. They turned the clocks off on me, and I just, but here's how I just want to end this idea with you, that this whole idea of God's presence in us, his spirit in us, that Jesus quotes this passage when out of Luke chapter 4, we've read it every week in this series, Empowered for Life. But he quotes out of Isaiah, and let me read it out of Isaiah, out of the Old Testament. Of course, in the New Testament, in Luke, where Jesus comes on the scene, but this is a foreshadowing of Jesus. And this is what he quotes. He says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Remember, that's what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed, that's the word we've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 weeks, has anointed me. What that means, that he puts something on the inside as well as the outside for others. Inside for you, outside for others. Has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Verse 2, he has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. Now listen to this. So if the Spirit of the Lord is on us, this is what's going to happen to all who mourn, to the people that are following him, that have gone through different things. He says, I will give them a crown of beauty for ashes. Come on. Whatever you feel like you're carried, whatever hurt, heartache, rejection, whatever pain, suffering, that the ashes of your life, come on, he redeems that and brings beauty to your life. No matter how hard, how difficult, he's like, I'm gonna bring beauty to your life. Come on, that's just good. You should at least smile at me. Come on now. Beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks. They will be like great oaks. Now, how does an oak start? As a what? A seed, an acorn, right? I'm not a biologist, but I think I know that one. And so in Jesus quotes out of chapter 4, he didn't quote verse 3, but verse 3 talks about what his anointing causes, oaks of righteousness, that we can be oak trees in a flimsy world, come on somebody, where everybody's wishy-washy, that his anointing can make you strong and courageous, that his presence can make us like an oak tree that can stand. And I don't know if you're like me, but maybe you feel like this way. I don't know if we have a picture. Did we have a picture of that oak acorn? Now would be a great time for that. Thank you. All right. Ta-da! Ah. Almost like we planned it. Does that look like an oak tree? Somebody help me. Does that look like an oak tree? The answer is no. But you know, everything that oak tree needs to be is on the inside of that. Everything Life Church needs to be, come on somebody, it's on the inside of you. Everything your family needs is on the inside of you. Everything that God calls you to is already on the inside of you. But you look at it, it's like, hey, there's no roots. There's no branches. There's no leaves. That's not a tree, but it is. It is what God has set and prepared to make this mighty oak tree. And you may not feel like you're an oak tree. You may not feel strong and courageous, but God has given you everything that you need on the inside. And it may look different. You can't look at that acorn and say that it doesn't have roots or branches or leaves, because it is impossible for that oak tree to do anything but start from that. That is an oak tree in just another form. And same with us, that you are somewhere in this process. Would you stand with me? And I hope you're going to stick around. This whole idea of this stuff that we do afterwards and just having fun in church, but ultimately it's about community, that you're part of a community. I know some of you are like, I don't want to throw an axe. Don't throw an axe. Just stand out here and talk to people. I'll talk to you. Enjoy a few wings. What flavors do we have? Mild, hot, and lemon pepper. I'll eat the hot for you. If you don't want to do that, I'll take the one for the team. But that's about belonging. Belong, believe, become. That's the opportunity. But Lord, I thank you for your promises. I didn't read it, but if we went two chapters further in Joshua chapter 3, you make this promise to your people where you say, consecrate or set yourself or prepare yourself today for great and mighty things tomorrow. And God, that word has carried me over the last 3 months, and I believe will carry Life Church into the preferred future that you have. We'll prepare ourselves today for a great and mighty, for the great mighty things you want to do tomorrow, the powerful things that you're not done, that it lives beyond, it continues to go. And so God, we thank you that you would build your church. And God, we expect great and mighty things. And change is difficult at times and transitions can be hard, but God, your plan continues. And so God, I pray right now that we'll be a church that will stand strong and courageous, that God, that we won't be afraid, that we will connect together, that you'll build this community and accomplish, God, in hearts, in lives, in families, in communities, what you designed to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Come on now, let's give the Lord a clap this morning. Thank you, God. Strong and courageous. Now listen to this. Now some things, changes are hard, they're difficult, and you like, you endure it and you're like, I don't know, I'm gonna figure this out. But some changes, come on now, don't check out yet, I got a good testimony for you. Some changes are amazing. Some changes that you can hope for that you think, I don't know that it'll ever work out. You notice our incredible worship team that on Thursday got a call that our worship pastor, Mary Lou, would not be here. Now, if you remember a couple months ago, I came up and I just encouraged you that you saw her worshiping on the same week that she was, you know, she's been going through dialysis or kidney failures. She had her first kidney transplant at age 15, and they gave her 15 years with that one, and God stretched it to 21 years. And she had put her, she'd gone through the process and thought she was on the list to receive a donor kidney. If you were here, you remember what happened was that the nurse that was attending to her after Mary Lou filled out everything never turned it in. It was never processed. For the next 8 months, Mary Lou walked thinking she was a candidate for a transplant, thinking that she was on the list, only to find out 8 months later or so that she was never even in the queue, that she didn't even, it was heartbreaking. Wrenching, breaking, you know, if you can only imagine you get your hopes up and you think, oh, I got this opportunity. And then they found out and they're like, we have to start all over in the process and putting you in the queue. And so she's walking through that and they told her it would be 4 or 5 years. Come on, somebody. On Thursday morning at our conference, the ladies had a prayer time. They had workshops and they broke up into prayer, and this, I don't even know who it is, but they got in circles and they prayed, and what can we pray about? And she shared her story. And this lady prays this anointed prayer. God, I pray for favor, and may she never have to go through dialysis again. That was Thursday morning. Thursday afternoon, I think around 4 or 5 o'clock, she receives a call. Mary Lou, you'll never guess what. We have a kidney waiting for you. Come on, somebody. 4 to 5 years after everything got processed, she got a letter dated June 6th saying, you're on the list now. So the clock was now starting for another 4 to 5 years. They didn't know that her kidney would make it. So here's the incredible, this change. So this kidney's in Florida. Come on, somebody. Mary Lou's in Dallas, and the surgery's going to happen in California. Here's what I want you to say, that God is faithful. Come on. He knows where you're at. He knows what you need. He knows how to get you where he wants you to be. So some of those changes that you wait, you endure, but God has a plan. And so you won't see her for the next few weeks. She had the surgery at 4 a.m. yesterday. We're going to pray for her right now. It's a healthy kidney, but right now it's asleep because it had been transported. And so we needed to awaken. We needed to become alive. So can we send the word to USF right now? So God, you know the exact room Mary Lou is in. What a miracle. God, thank you. You're a gracious God, a caring God, a prayer answering God. And so God, right now, we just send the word to Mary Lou. And Lord, as she lies in that bed, Lord, we speak your life to her body, to that kidney. May it awaken and function. God, may it be received as it's called. And just like the prayer that she won't have to multiple times every week going back for dialysis, that God, that you'll bring health to her body and wholeness in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. All right, so we love you. I'm going to wait just a few moments. If you want prayer, we're available. Otherwise, enjoy the wings. I think there's cornhole, axe throwing is going to be out on the step. And so I can't wait to celebrate with you. We love you. Go with God. He'll go with you.